My dear brothers and sisters, I hope that you took the opportunity of last week to pray with Scripture, as I asked. I sent you home with, you had a longer assignment because I didn't have the homily 2 weeks before, but I sent you home to go and read Jeremiah 1, 5 to 8, 9 to 10, and 17 to 19. And I hope that you had the opportunity to go home and pray with that. I have many reasons for doing this, and one of my many reasons is to try to help all of us to slow down a little bit and spend a little more time with the Lord. We're going to be doing a scripture challenge weekly. So, hopefully I can get you to commit to 5 minutes a day for 7 days. I don't think I'm asking for much. And I think that we can all find 7 minutes, 5 minutes a day for 7 days to spend time with Scripture. So there's going to be another one at the end of the homily. So I would get my, whatever you use to write, or your memory, or your notepad out, because there's going to be another one coming down the pike. So as we hear today's gospel, we find ourselves with the Pharisees in a little bit of a angry. In fact, the Pharisees and the Sadducees come together. And so that we kind of understand this scripture, to give you some context, so the Pharisees and Sadducees weren't just different religious groups within the Jewish faith. It wasn't just different groups' religious way of thinking. They were also different political parties. One believed in the resurrection, one didn't. One believed in angels, one doesn't. And so the fact that the Pharisees and the Sadducees get together is a big deal, because let's just say that they never saw eye to eye on anything, and they would never, ever get together and mix with each other. But they can all agree on one thing. They all are angry and hating Jesus. It's amazing if we think about it, what the power of hate and anger can do. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, because it's the danger of what hate can cause. Anyway, so the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they get together, and they are very scholarly and very smart. And so they come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And now, so there is not a summary that Jesus would know this automatically. So there is 613 laws at the time of Jesus, okay? 613 Levitical laws. So to be asked to remember what is the most, I think if we asked ourselves, if I gave you a list of 10 things and asked you what the most important was, with all the people in here, we'd have different answers. And if I made the list longer, it would be harder for us to keep up. So with a list of 613 different Levitical laws, they try to entrap Jesus and get Jesus to say one law is more important than the other, so that they can use it against him. But instead, Jesus, knowing what they're trying to do, he answers them. But he doesn't answer them with one commandment. Or does he? He answers them with two commandments. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And the Greek word that is used for love is agape. And that agape is because there are four different Greek words for love that are used in Scripture, particularly in the Old Testament. So Paul has different Greek words for love. So when he uses the word love, because we only have one word for it, it's hard to capture the meaning of what really Paul is trying to say. And so what Paul is saying is, what Jesus is saying is that the first kind of love that we should have is a divine love towards God. Now, in this is almost a stating of the obvious. It's obvious, Father, that we should love the Lord our God with all our minds, with all our strength, with all our soul. And that's kind of the obvious answer. We should. We ought to love the Lord our God with everything we are. But then Jesus, he doesn't stop. He continues and he says, this is the great and first commandment. Then he says, and a second is like it. And what Matthew means like that is that Jesus is equating love of God with love of neighbor. So if we go back to that Greek word of agape, which is a divine love, what Christ is calling us to when Christ says, and the second commandment is like it, is that we ought to have a divine love towards the other. And what does it mean to have a divine love? It means to have the kind of love that God has for you, to have that same kind of love for your neighbor, for the one next to you. That's a deep kind of love. Because to what point has God loved us? God has loved us to the point of sending his son to die on a cross for us, to give his life for us. And so then in turn, my dear brothers and sisters, the love that you and I are called to have with our neighbor is exactly that same kind of love. A divine love. A love that is able to give of ourselves completely for the one who is near us. But not just for the one who is near us, but for everyone. Because imagine, God loves all of us the same way. So we should have that love for others. Now that is to kind of help us to understand the grandness of what God doesn't mean you should just like your neighbor. God doesn't mean you should just once in a while do a nice thing for your neighbor. God doesn't mean you should just pat the back of your neighbor. Say, good job, great. God is saying we should love with the same kind of love that God has had for us. That should make us tremble a little bit. Because I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we don't have that kind of love. But God is calling us to that kind of love. And in thinking about the homily, I was reminded back in the seminary of a story I heard of ancient Rome, which is a symbol of this kind of love. What was a very sad and horrible practice in ancient Rome was that if a child was born and you didn't want the child, or the child was born crippled or with a deformity, there was a special place in each city where the women would take their babies and leave them to exposure, to die by exposure. Oh, very, very sad. But it's interesting, in this time of ancient Rome, there is Christianity, and Christianity, in this time, Christianity is not accepted by the Roman Empire, and in fact, it's openly persecuted by the Roman Empire. And so what would happen is, if you go to the catacombs today of Rome, where the early Christians would hide and celebrate the Eucharist, you'll find in those catacombs little niches, no? And those were not just for Christian babies. So what would happen is, because of Christian love, Christian women, when these babies were left out to exposure, Christian women would go and take the babies and try to bring them and try to raise them. But the ones that didn't make it because they were left out in exposure for too long were given Christian burials. That's Christian love. Imagine that you could be arrested and fed to the lions. Do we have that kind of love? Are we willing to give our life for our neighbor? It's easy to give our life. It's easy to help when the other one is grateful to us. It's easy to help when it doesn't cost any skin off of our back, or at least not too much skin off of our back. Not so difficult. It's harder, my dear brothers and sisters, to love when we gain nothing from it. And to love because God has loved us. And I want us in this week to really understand and to really contemplate what God is calling us to. Because, one of the greatest confusions, or I shouldn't say confusions, but, I have heard over and over many times this scripture used and twisted to try to make things mean certain other things, you know. You hear it a lot. Love your neighbor. Jesus says, "Love your neighbor," but it's interesting when the world tries to use it and twist it. It tries to twist it into saying what it means by love is accept everything that your neighbor does, and that's love. No, because that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is love as God has loved you. Because that is the supreme love that God wants for you and me. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, today, this week, we can upset the devil. Because the devil hates this kind of love. The evil one despises a godly love. And so, I'm going to invite you in this week to a couple of things. First, I'm going to invite you to go and show this kind of love to one person this week. One person. Ask the Lord for the grace. And best way to do this is to say, "Lord, provide me today somebody to love." And I promise you, no sooner that you walk out of your door, there will be somebody to love. And since we're around a lot of people between work and home and back and forth, I am sure that we can find one person in this week to love. The other thing that I want you to do, which is the scripture challenge for this week, is in order to love our neighbor, we have to first understand the love of God for us, I want you to go home and for 5 minutes a day for the next 7 days, pray with the following Bible verses. A little longer, but it's still, 5 minutes is still enough time. It's Luke 15, 11 through 32. Luke 15, 11 through 32. Suffice, I'm not going to read it, because I want you to go home and read it. Suffice it to say, it will speak about God's love for us. And so, and if we understand God's love for us, so now we've had time to contemplate that we're children of God. If we understand that that God, to what point God loves us, then, my dear brothers and sisters, we can ask the Lord the grace to go and find one to love.